Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/modern. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
Hey everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Star Wars Book Club podcast. As always, I am your host, Blake Schultz, and with me today is Harley Salbaca.
Hey, hey, hey.
And Tyler Berry.
Yo, can I open with a joke?
Of course you can.
Yes.
All right, kids. So what happens when an astromech droid gets stuck in traffic on the 101?
I don't know.
What?
He takes an R2 detour.
Oh my god, I need to tell that to everybody.
I actually made that one up myself.
I came up with it today.
Yeah. I swear to god.
Really?
It's probably already been said because it's pretty obvious, but I made that up myself today.
I'm very proud of you.
Thank you.
That was pretty great.
I'm going to go out and say that possibly no one has actually ever said that out loud before. Maybe they've thought of it, but I'm going to say you're the first person.
I think that's a brand new joke.
I think so too.
Copyright Tyler Berry, Tie Game Enterprises. Good night.
Right. Amazing. Well, guys, we are back from our long hiatus with quite the zinger from Tyler.
Lovely. Oh, thanks, guys.
Yes. Yeah, sorry about the huge delay. We've all been very busy with other parts of our lives.
Shit happens.
You know, it is.
We all have to have jobs where we get paid or something.
Oh.
That's the rumor going around town. But anyways, we are back from our little hiatus to talk about the Luke Skywalker Young Adult Novel Part 2. That got real, real sloppy.
What? Yeah. I don't even know what you said.
It's been so long. The Luke Skywalker Young Adult Novel Part 2.
Oh, good job.
Wonderful. As well as the Poe Dameron first issue that came out and the Rogue One trailer. But first, we're going to get into Part 2 of The Weapon of a Jedi. What did you guys think? It drags, right?
I kind of am starting to realize that maybe the Han Solo one was the only one sort of written for not just young adults, because these bore the fuck out of me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, we have to remember that, like, out of all of the writers who are writing these, I think that Rucka is also the most seasoned writer.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No, and that's a very good point.
I don't think I've ever read anything by him that has been bad.
Nope.
Everything I read by him, I'm like, this is amazing.
Well, I'll tell you the other problem that I've started to notice that I kept kind of like fingers crossing, and I even brought up on the last podcast, there is no real antagonist yet. It's just Luke in a temple learning stuff, which, while it's very interesting,
and I like the temple stuff.
The temple stuff is fine.
I love
it's okay.
all the
yeah.
Jedi temple stuff.
But there's so much of it that, like, when he's fighting the three training droids at the end of this section, I was so bored because he was just like, and then I went into Parry Stance 1 and Parry Stance 2, and I was like, there's no sense of, like, going to get anything or a bigger scale of what's going on around him. There's nobody out to get him. There's nothing up except for him sitting around and doing this. If this were in a movie, it would be the training montage in Rocky, and we'd be done in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
The reason they put Eye of the Tiger on those montages is because they are boring without a lot of music, because it's just someone punching a bag. It's more interesting when they punch a person.
I didn't even think of Rocky 1. I immediately went to Rocky 4's training montage and then just thought of Drago!
I was going to say, to be fair, Rocky 4's montage is the longest montage ever.
And frankly, the best.
And of course it is. It's the longest one. It completely...
And it's got the best song. I'm sorry. That song is better than Eye of a Tiger, even though I don't know what that song is called.
I know, but it's so good. But yeah, I mean, that's the big problem with this whole book, is I was getting to this last part where he has the one remote, and then two remotes, and eventually it'll be three remotes. And I was just like, why is this 4 pages long? I've watched him fight one of these before, and he was blind then. Now he's doing it without his eyes. Or with his eyes, rather. There's no, like, I don't care. I get what he's doing, but there's not even, like, he didn't get to the temple and encounter, like, a monster or like a lost Jedi or a dark Jedi or like anything. He just had Obi-Wan talking to him and him being like, okay, guys, I think we can do this. We got to learn some stuff.
Yeah, I mean, from what I've heard about all of these novels and everything that they do for the Star Wars universe stuff, it's not necessarily like they do with comics. Like with comics, if you are going to come in and you're going to write the next run of Punisher,
right,
basically you come in with a pitch. You go, I want to write Punisher. Here's the story I want to write. And you pitch them a story. And then they go, okay, cool. Yeah, that one. Let's alter a few things and cool, go for it. With this, it's basically like, hey, we want you to write this book. Here is your story. Here's all the plot points you have to hit. Here's what you can't touch. Now write.
So basically what you're saying is that these three books, though, anything with the word Journey to the Force Awakens above it is just a big marketing poster. It isn't there to actually...
I'm saying
because
that it's that everything that is written in these is dictated because they're being so careful and so...
Well, my rebuttal to that will be the Marvel Cinematic Universe, because that's been plot pointed out a ton, but they still get a few creative liabilities and there's still stories.
No, but that we can't even compare that because it's not like there are Marvel Cinematic Universe novels coming out.
That's true.
Yeah.
So, also, I mean, let's take that completely off the table. Let's just focus on this
yeah.
universe, like what this whole podcast is built off on. Mm-hmm. The problem with these books, the problem that I don't feel like Han's book had, is that these books are trying way too hard to just expand on these characters. And I know we've said for months that that's what we want, is more Leia, more insight into Leia, more insight
yeah.
into Luke, but we're not really getting that with these books. We're getting a bunch...
There's not enough substance.
Frankly, we're getting a bunch of just nonsense that,
yeah.
in the
yeah.
grand scheme of things, will have no bearing on what happens down the road as we get further into the comic line, further into the movie storyline.
Yeah.
These books don't matter. Frankly, Han doesn't matter either,
no.
but it was told
There's
in such
cool
an
story.
Entertaining, quick-witted way
yeah.
that we still enjoyed reading it. Leia didn't do shit for me. Like, the more
no.
and more I think about it, the more I just think that that was just not a good book.
It's not.
There just isn't any substance to them. Like, we're
Which,
not getting any juicy bits. We're
right.
getting the story, and it's... I feel like... And the thing is that when I read them, honestly, I'm reading... When I read Leia and this, I'm just like, I feel like all of this is just so dictated. I feel like this is so dictated to the writer what you're supposed to write, which is true because they are being super careful. I mean, they literally have a room of people who come and have meetings like every single month to decide all of these things.
Yeah, they're called writers' rooms.
And maybe,
they still end up making some.
That's and
but
maybe
they're for the
maybe
whole
that's
universe.
Really the problem.
Yeah,
they're signing it for the whole universe too. They have people
right.
from each department.
I understand
right.
that.
I get that, but maybe we're to the point only what a year into this new
yeah.
Star Wars universe. Maybe we're to the point now where all that's going to do is stifle creativity. It's not going to actually
yeah.
help the universe. Because frankly, these past two books have kind of just pissed me off.
Yeah.
Being like, why am I really reading this? I'm reading it for my podcast to talk about them intelligently with my friends. But if I were reading these for no other reason than just to read them,
I would be
fucking
stopped.
Shitty that I dropped $9 a piece on them. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Like, they're not good.
Yeah.
No.
The writers are good. There's nothing wrong with the actual structure of how they're written. Like, the dialogue is not bad in any way. But there's no point to them.
Yeah.
And when there's no
yeah.
point to a book furthering a universe that we're trying to flesh out even more, then it just shouldn't have been written in the first
right.
place.
Yeah. Well, and that's another big reason that, like, with a lot of these books, it's one of the concerns I have with, like, the Han Solo book coming out, is I'm like, we keep going back to these characters that I know we keep saying, like, well, give me a little bit more. But what you have to do with that is give me more in a different way. Like, watching Luke do this is basically the worst version of what he did on Dagobah.
Like,
yes.
We've seen
that. Like, I don't need...
We want to see him do something new.
I don't need to see him meander around. I want to... Like, it was originally, like, C-3PO says in the very beginning of it, like, the first time he fights with a lightsaber. And I was like, okay, we actually never did see him, like, learn combat. Like, maybe
yeah.
he'll get to this temple, and I don't know, you have a giant shared universe. We know there's other Jedis running around. Maybe he runs into Kanan or somebody. And
I can get that in a one-shot, though.
Right.
Give me that in a one-shot. I don't need a 200-page novel about it.
Right, and
also, we have this great Jedi Temple, and I feel like we're not getting that much from it.
We're not.
No.
Like, we have all this great mythos that we want to find more about, we think it's interesting.
Yeah.
We're wondering in Force Awakens, is that what he's been doing this whole time, is going to Jedi Temples? We know that he's been traveling and finding them
going
in
to
the
temples
comics,
and fighting droids.
But, like, what... This one, we're going to see him in a Jedi Temple, and we don't get to see anything about the Jedi Temple.
Well, that's the other thing, too, and I brought this up when we did Vader Down, is they keep kind of being like, look, a temple, and then just leaving. Like, we've never really gotten a sense of, like, why these temples are here, what they're doing, or why they're important. And this, I thought, was the opportunity to really dive into that, and instead, we're two-thirds of the way through it. We just got there.
Yeah.
And it opens with a bunch of musty old flying droids that were on the Millennium Falcon that Luke accidentally turns on because he had a vision quest. And there's, again, there's no... Nothing is at stake. Like, there's, like... And usually when these books happen, too, like, even in, like, the Han one, we knew, like, well, he's going to get out. This is before A New Hope. But there was still a, like, well, what's going to happen to everybody else?
Yeah, because you met these characters that were interesting, and there was still stakes for those characters.
But that's what we've been saying. There are no more stakes in this part of the storyline.
That's,
there's nothing more to do that will really make you feel like, oh, shit, something crazy could happen here. Because we know what happens going forward.
Yep.
We've got to move forward.
I want to.
And I want more, like, of the other characters. I'm like, okay, if you're going to tell me these stories where I know what's going to happen, I know that Luke's going to be fine and Leia's going to be fine.
Exactly.
Then bring out these new characters. Let us get to know all these other people that we have maybe seen.
The giant universe that we live in, but everybody's related to two people.
And that's what I want to know, is I want to know about all these other people and these other characters that are I find interesting.
Or frankly, if you're too afraid of getting to the Force Awakens timeline and all that jazz, like whatever reason they're not going forward, go back. Go back to prequel stuff.
Yeah.
Show me all the Jedi stuff then. Give me a Darth Maul guy and a Mace Windu fight. Or
point
even further back.
Point counterpoint, though, we're seeing a little bit of that, and we fucking hate it.
That's true.
It's, like, not good.
Yeah.
Obi-Wan and Anakin is not a good story.
No.
It disappointed me so much. I liked so many pieces of the first issue, and I don't like any of the other pieces of the rest of the issues.
Like, I've been trying to formulate how I wanted to articulate this all day. This is the first time since we've started this podcast where I'm legitimately angry.
Yeah.
I'm legitimately angry that I'm reading a story that doesn't fucking matter.
Right.
And it's the second story in a row that doesn't fucking matter.
Well, and this was our concern when we started on Force Friday, and we were like, oh my God, they're releasing like 15 comics. What was it? 6 books.
Yes.
Yeah.
A ton something of like novels. That, yeah. Like, we're not even a year into this new universe, and we have so much stuff and more coming. And at a certain point, you're just kind of like, not all of this is going to balance anything out. And it's getting to a point now where we're not even through all the stuff that's come out since then, because this is how long it takes to consume all of this media. And we're already on a hump of, like, I pushed through this book. I did.
I almost fell asleep, dude. I almost fell asleep with my Kindle in my hand reading this fucking book.
Because
it's boring.
Yeah.
It's frankly... I was going to tiptoe around it a little bit more.
I wouldn't.
But it's fucking boring to me.
Yeah.
It is absolutely no fun to read. I don't have any fun learning about any of these new random characters that we're getting. I don't give a fuck about the scavenger even remotely.
No.
I was hoping that it was going to be... Oh, man. You hear about him in the first third of the book before you actually meet him. Like, oh, the scavenger sounds kind of cool. Maybe that'll be cool. He's just a crotchety old fuck. Like, he's every outlaw character in the Star Wars universe. He's a carbon copy of them, and it's not fun.
And we have so many of those. Like, that was the one thing, too, with, like, I was thinking about that with the Han movie today. For whatever reason, I was thinking about it, and I was just like, man, am I the only person who really doesn't want that movie? Like, I get it. I know Han. I've got 3 movies of him. I got a book. I get the smug smuggler guy. I don't care.
I want it, if we really, really dedicate it to being young Han.
Yes.
I don't want Han 5 years before he meets Luke. Like, I want
him a decade before.
20-year-old Han meeting getting
Chewie.
The Falcon from Lando, meeting Chewie for the first time.
Yeah,
that's what I want too.
Maybe even seeing this whole wedding business that we fucking got annoyed with hearing about for so long in the comics. Like, those are the things I want to see. I don't want anything to do. I don't want any little Luke cameo or any bullshit like that. I want a dedicated story to Han before Han was the Han that we know.
Because the Han trilogy books, I haven't finished.
Those were really good.
Yeah, I haven't finished the second one. I just started it. Those were excellent. And actually, a lot of that story, they're being like, please steal from this. Because you see him really young. He's like 18 when it starts. Yeah. And like you see him, and it's all about him. And you actually see him go from being actually kind of this nice kid to getting hardened and to becoming a smuggler and seeing all these things. You see this huge character change and development, basically, of him being going from being a kid to being an adult.
Yeah.
And that's what I want to see. I want to see him go from being a kid to being an adult. And at the end of the movie, we go, ah, this is the Han that we know.
Guys, I think it's a testament to how boring and low-key this book is that we've spent the majority of the segment on it segueing into movies that are coming out and other stuff.
There's like, nothing to talk about. I know. Like, there's nothing to talk about in the second act of this book.
No.
There's nothing happens. Like, it's just as boring, if not more, than the Leia one. Like that, and that one.
It's even more boring than the Leia one, as far as I can tell.
It's so, frustrating. Like, these books are just so. It's like we've said it a million times. They don't matter.
And we've got to take it with a somewhat of a grain of salt because they are young adult novels. They are not for us half of our 20s people.
And I'm glad.
But they've made so many YA
novels,
stories that bridge that gap.
And you're like, exactly right. I mean, the counterpoint to that is
Hunger
the Han
Games,
books.
Han.
Oh, I was going to stick with Star Wars.
But
the counterpoint to that is how great Han was.
Yeah.
Because it didn't feel forced at all. It just felt like a really organic Han storyline and added in a character to the universe that we do really, really want to learn
characters.
More about. Yes,
we got
Emmett
and the girl whose name I just forgot.
Captain fucking Commander fucking what's her name?
I want to say Aphra. That's Dr. Aphra.
Oh my God.
She's great, though.
Beck.
Commander Beck. Thank you.
Sorry,
Alicia Beck.
Yep.
Yeah, and we got to see, you know, internal dialogue of Chewie, finally.
Yeah.
But the thing is that I've read a lot of young adult novels even as an adult. I took a young adult literature class, like, in college, and of the young adult books I read in that class were awesome. And most of the ones I've read since then are really good. They're young adult novels. I think it doesn't necessarily have to do with being a young adult novel.
It is what it is. But I'm also just really disappointed that we're now on the third and final of these YA novels that came out of the characters. Like, Lost Stars is still there. But of these three characters and all of this whole, like, journey to the Force Awakens, the little seeds you're going to find, there's not one. Outside of, like, meeting Kanja Club in the, like, epilogue of Han's book and the mention of Poe Dameron and Jakku from Leia's and literally nothing from this one because we meet a pilot who doesn't exist in the movie, but he goes to a temple. There's, like, for a story, to Hartley's point earlier, that they're sitting down and going, here are the bullet points you have to hit. If you're sitting down and you're not starting this from a writer from the ground up of going, here's my pitch, here's what I want to do, here's what's going to add, and you're coming at it from more of a, we want to make these stories to expand this universe and build a movie. Mm-hmm. Put the stuff about your movie in it. If you're all sitting around in a room making a basically, I hate to use the word like marketing and advertising as like negative things, but like as a marketing product to just sell out, like a lot of things can be with Star Wars. Nobody needs a droid figure that saved Luke and Hoth, but I have one. It doesn't need to exist. Neither do these books. But if you're going to do that and you're going to sit in a room with suits and ties and go, how do we do it? Take something from those movies and put it in. Don't just be like, here's the epilogue and a story in the middle. And if you're going to do that, make your epilogue and prologue the journey. And in the middle, tell a story. This is flirting with two ideas and it's meeting halfway and it's not committing to either.
Nope.
It won't commit to telling you about The Force Awakens because they didn't want to spoil anything about that movie. Well, guess what? Nothing from your books was in that movie at all. And everything that was in this was in your trailer. So get over that. You didn't add to these characters because you're literally flirting with ideas that we knew or we had had better versions of that story.
Yep.
The Leia novel was better done as the comic book. That's all I needed.
Yeah.
I didn't need a comic, a book, and five movies with her in it right away. She's a great character. I don't need to be overloaded with her because I understand. The thing about Star Wars is so many of these characters, while they're very engaging, were what kind of became archetypes and stereotypical archetypes. Luke is the hero's journey. Han is like the smug smuggler, like
the suave one.
The suave one. Like we know all of these stories, and connecting to these characters again just kind of highlights some of that. That when you come to Luke, there isn't a lot of complexity. Like, this book keeps being like, he was mad when his parents died, but he was told not to do that because it would lead to the dark side. Why not have this be him in the temple and have him getting pissed off at something?
Yeah.
And flirting with the dark side. And then when he goes to Yoda and is like, is the dark side stronger? You'll be like, ooh, because he's, like, touched it a bit. Or when he goes into that room in the swamp and fights Vader. Motivate the things in the book the way the Vader comic is.
Yeah, because also, like, that was part of what they originally were going to do, is that he was going to go to the dark side at the end. So why not have that be a part of it? Where it's something that's not easy.
Yeah.
No matter who you are, whether you're fucking Anakin or you're Luke or you're Kylo Ren, it's not easy.
Right.
And have you show Luke having a maybe not his struggle isn't as bad as his dad's, but making him have a struggle too, and seeing that struggle, that would be interesting. I would find that interesting.
Or, I don't know, he finds a survivor in the temple and tries to train him, and the kid dies, and that's another reason that why when he fails with Kylo Ren, it hits him even more. Maybe that would be a fun thing to see.
That would be cool.
Anything else? Guys,
Kyler looks really angry.
We're going to take a...
I am. I love doing this show, but I don't love reading shitty things. Like, that's really what... And I know that's, like, an obvious thing to say. Like, no one likes reading shitty things. But I genuinely go into these things wanting to like all of them.
Right.
I know that that's not a plausible thing in reality, but it's just, like, to start off on such a good note with Han, with these YA novels, and then to go to Leia, which is just, like, meh. And then to go to Luke, where I just genuinely want to throw my Kindle against a wall.
Don't do that.
Because it's not fucking fun to read. It's not. And I can't remember the last time I didn't have fun with something involving Star Wars. And okay, you obviously Chewie, that Chewie miniseries. But even that, it's just like, well, that's still just a comic. It's 20 pages long. I can fucking get through it, and then there's plenty of other things I love with Chewie in it, but...
And there's pretty pictures.
Yeah, oh yeah, and the pictures are... the art is amazing.
It's pretty.
So at least there's something to take away from those.
Yeah.
For me, there's nothing to take away from this Luke novel.
I was trying to figure it out, and I was writing things down, and I was like, well, we didn't really learn anything. None of this adds to the universe. None of this adds to Luke. It's just treading water of stuff we know. It's not fun. I think you even said it about the Anakin and Obi-Wan one. It's not fun watching the master and apprentice dynamic because it's just going to be them going, let's do this. No, this is that same thing, but without the master.
Yeah.
And they even add it in because you hear Ben talking. And there's certain things too.
Too many times, by the way. And Ben does not come to him at every fucking trial and tribulation.
Right. And that was the other thing too with this book. And I've said it before where I'm like, every now and then I get worried that the more we stay in this part of the world, the more the really big things in Empire Strikes Back are going to matter less.
So right.
Like when
you're so right.
I don't want that to
He
happen.
Goes down on Hoth and he's like, Ben, help, Ben, help, Ben, help. And Ben doesn't show up for a minute. He does the same thing in Jedi and he's like, help me. And Ben's like, no, I told you that we're done with this
Figure
part.
Figure it the fuck out.
Right. He moves the lightsaber by himself and it's huge. In this book, we see him move that big lever and I'm like, oh, well, that diffuses the lightsaber moment a little bit. Like... He obviously knows what he's doing a bit now. It almost makes him kind of a bitch when he can't do it on Hoth. If he's going to go through this whole temple and come out with wizard skills, like what's the point of going to see Yoda if you can just go to this temple and have your ghost dad tell you everything's going to be okay? Like,
yeah.
Like I said, make fun of the old EU if you want, which I do, and I frankly did not read nearly as much of it as you guys did, but what I know about the old EU that I have an insane amount of respect for is that it wasn't shoehorned into one linear storyline.
Yeah.
It got to have some creative license with these things, and
it was
frankly the
license.
Fact that even these 200-page young adult novels can't have any like sort of creative license with it and like kind of strayed their own path really, really worries me for everything
coming up for the rest of 2016. It really worries me.
Yep.
And that includes comics, frankly.
Yeah.
That includes
comics. Well, I mean, we're getting to that lull with those two. The last, like, Vader and Star Wars books we talked about, we were kind of like, these gotta get these things moving forward. But, yeah. And I even, we'll segue a bit into it, even the Poe book started off with me kind of just being like, guys, I know this information. Like,
yeah.
And on that note, let's move forward, and we'll come back and we'll talk about Poe Dameron number one a little bit. Hey everybody, and welcome back to the Star Wars Book Club. In this segment, we'll be talking a little bit about Poe Dameron issue number one, as well as the Rogue One trailer that dropped last week, I believe, at this point.
It's never heard of it.
This little movie. Yeah, guys, so the hotly anticipated Poe Dameron one, the breakout character from Force Awakens, rolled in. Personally, I came out of it with an extended meh. Like,
I was I'm kind of with Harley on this one. I was pretty with it. I really enjoyed it.
I really enjoyed it, but I think I get too overhyped with issue number ones, and this is something that I was thinking about with this.
It's
that,
like a pilot for
exactly, a and I was one of those things where I was like, well, they've got to set a lot of things into motion, but I was a little just like bored with the first two or three pages that were Leia and Poe and her just being like, get the map from the guy and then go to Jakku, and I was like, this I don't need. You
I
can
like that,
just
though, because we talked more about that guy's character.
We
because
did.
We didn't know who he was in Force Awakens, and there's all the rumors that he was supposed to be
Wedge.
Wedge.
I wish he had been Wedge.
And but so then I he liked died. That they had like explained who he was and why he was important, and I actually really dug that. I was like, that's cool. I'm all about this.
It looked gorgeous too.
Well,
like,
again, Phil Noto.
Yeah.
Yo, I laughed my ass off though when Leia was like, oh, Poe, you get to pick your own team. And she's like, they better be good. And he's like, oh, they will be. And then it just, like, fucking smash cuts to, like, the whole team just, like, posing.
That.
Like, this guy. And then this chick. And then
I
this dude.
That. That
and I'm
so
just like,
funny.
Is this an 80s movie? Is this Expendables 4 in a fucking Poe Dameron comic? Like, I laughed my fucking ass off for like 90 seconds.
I also actually liked that moment too, because it had Jess Pava, who is the girl from the beginning of the Luke book, and I was like, oh.
Right.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, that's nice that they're at least like, here's everybody, but I did love that just like, oh, my team's gonna be amazing.
I just
pictured it like an old movie where they were like the A team.
Yeah, it's such a great. It was a fucking smash cut in a comic book, which is amazing to me.
Because I
so
like,
good.
There was a lot of humor in this, and I like that.
Yeah,
me too.
Because I feel like his character, we know right away, is funny. Because what's one of his first lines is he's like,
Who talks first?
Like, who, what? Ugh. And it's like,
all
right,
guys,
away.
I'm done with the podcast. I'm going back to watch Force
I know.
For like the 90th time.
I know. I am watching that movie so many times. All right,
so how many times have you guys watched it since it came out?
Just the twice.
I've only been able to watch it once. But to be fair, I watched it
four times.
Oh,
there you
my
go.
God.
I would have done
four
it more.
And a half, actually. I fell asleep to it last
I've been
night.
On the MTV Movie Awards all week.
Oh, brag fucking more.
It really
bitch.
Wasn't that impressive.
Oh, okay.
I had my family in town and I work 6 days.
Your family doesn't want to watch Star Wars?
No, I took them to Disneyland so they could see Star Wars.
Oh, well. But, yeah.
My brother hadn't been in a decade.
I also really liked, unlike the Luke book, this one actually gave us like a new planet and expanded and gave us that weird species with the egg that they worship.
Oh, that was really interesting to me.
I thought that was cool.
I love seeing other religion type things in Star Wars that aren't the Force and the Jedi.
And they're like super primitive kind of, because they're just like, oh, this egg, please don't kill it, bad man. And Poe's just like, I'm not, I don't.
He's like,
I don't have any interest in your breakfast food or whatever the fuck he says.
I just want to know where this guy is. And they're like, why? So you can talk to him and then hurt the egg? And he's like, no.
I don't want your egg. I don't want your life. Varsity Blues reference.
Yes.
And I like when he held up the thing. They're like, he's a detonator. Get him. Yeah. Like, wait, no,
it's a tracker. It's a tracker. Calm down.
He's like, someone's tracking me, guys. I'm trying to.
Guys, I assure you, something much horrible is coming. Let me check my ship. That was my favorite. Was he was explaining, he was like, no, guys, it's a tracker, which means I've been tracked here, which is bad.
Now,
let's be pals.
Now, here's what I will say is I feel like we're getting to the point where every one of these comics is using the same, oh my God, they're not just coming, they're already here trope.
Yes.
Is that just me or...
That is
like I read that part and I'm like, Poe, they're not just coming. And I'm just like, before I even got to the last panel, I'm like, yeah, they're already fucking here. God damn it. Like,
how bad is your team of ace pilots if you're like, they're here, Poe? You didn't see them on your radar?
You've been flying around for like hours now.
Right.
How did you miss that shit? There's at least five others of you. Right. Like,
and it wasn't just like one TIE fighter. It was like a fleet of them. Like,
it was the fucking shield helicarrier, basically. Right. It's just, I don't mind that continues happening, because, obviously, the Empire's going to show up, but it's just the way that they deliver it every single time. I'm just like, can we do something a little different? Like, maybe they just blast in without the whole, like, oh my God, they're not just coming, they're here.
Or just, like, have Phasma open a door and be like, it's not a blaster, we've tracked you, but I have a blaster.
Or, you know, just have Phasma, fucking Jesus Christ,
for more than 90
seconds in a goddamn movie.
I'm waiting for Phasma to come in. And also, I'm really excited about this because this is the first, like, actual real, like, Force Awakens comic that
also,
we've
where's
had.
My babe, Santi?
I know,
what the
right?
fuck?
Don't worry, he'll show up.
My bae?
Your bae?
My boo?
Well, the other nice thing...
If I don't get a plushie soon, I'll fucking flip out. Dude.
I know.
I swear to God. I'll lose my mind. I will lose my mind.
In Injunction, where we were saying that the Luke book didn't do too, this one, since it moves forward, has, like, liberties and can tell, like, a story. And it's...
Yeah.
It's funny just talking about, like, they were stuck in this area, and in the second we come here, we're like, Phasma could show up? Where are these people? How come this isn't happening? There's this weird egg that we have all these new pilots to talk about, and it's like, oh, we're instantly more interested, and the stakes are infinitely higher, because outside of Poe, all of these people are basically expendable, so now we can get to know all of them and then be sad when things happen, instead of just being like...
That's yep. You nailed it. You nailed it. That's really what it boils down to. We know that these titular characters, nothing really quote unquote bad is going to happen to them because they're necessary for the main storyline going forward. It's these other characters that need to be fleshed out because things can actually happen to them and we can be upset about it. The way that we were upset when Han was frozen in carbonite, the way that we were upset when Lando betrayed Han and the rest of them, the way when Luke's uncle and aunt died, like, there's just things when we're stuck in this past storyline that we know where it goes from there, we can't ever be sad because we know exactly what's going to happen to them going forward.
And Injunction, we can't be excited about it because we're like, oh, neat. Okay. But with this, we're like, what is this egg?
Exactly.
Is Poe going to win these people over? Or is this whole society about to be obliterated by the First Order? Or is the First Order going to roll in, Poe make a mistake, and then become First Order sympathizers? We don't know.
That's
also,
why that war,
what's in the
that's
egg?
That's why that war between those two groups introduced in the Obi and Annie book doesn't work.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, the focus is on Obi and Annie, and we know where that relationship goes.
Yeah.
We don't give a fuck about what are they called, like the light versus the.
It's like it's literally like the shadow and the light,
something like that. But
the in and the out, I don't care.
It's the yin
something
and the yang,
even more generic like than the dark side and the light side.
Well, it's just like that might actually be a cool storyline if you introduced it into like, I don't know. A Finn book, like maybe Finn on Jakku in between all the other stuff happening. Obviously, that wouldn't work because we already know what
or
happens.
Just
but it's just
the
like,
POV.
What if something like that happens? Yeah. Like, what?
Switch the POV.
Like, just tell that story and have great. Obi-Wan and Anakin there while that happens.
Oh, no. Switch a point of view from someone to someone we don't know, observing those characters we already do know would be awesome.
This is why I'm excited for Lost Stars, because it's all the main events of the first three, but it's an Imperial and a Rebel who, like, Romeo and Juliet their lives.
That's absolutely brilliant to me.
Those
I
are the
love
most
that.
Interesting yeah. ones. Joker, just the story that's called Joker, where Heath Ledger definitely took a lot of his Joker from.
Yeah.
That whole book is from the perspective of one of the henchmen that he hires, who doesn't know him and just starts working for him. And it is one of the most interesting
stories. It's so
good.
It's
Look
really,
at
really
Marvel's.
Good.
The when just yep. that random photographer is going around journalizing all the major events in the Marvel universe. We know these people. Poe, we have the benefit of actually not knowing that much about him.
He wasn't in the movie that much.
He really isn't.
Because he was supposed to die.
Right.
Damn travesty.
Thank God he didn't.
Oh, thank God he didn't. Oscar Isaac, I love you, babe.
I know.
Oh, my God.
It's going to be great.
Guys, I love
Episode
Oscar
8.
Isaac.
Oh, man.
Did I just rhyme?
You did.
Unintentional. All right. Sorry, guys.
Also, BB-8.
And
more
Biebs. The Biebs.
He's
my
comic.
Dude.
I know.
And he's just as adorable. Oh, yo. Fuck the rest of this comic. Can we talk about
the
little
end
story?
Oh my God, all I wanted to get to was the best thing ever.
I almost fainted out of the cuteness. Like,
so cute.
Oh my God.
Helping him find
love. How much that comic
looks
like a
interracial relationship. Can we talk about the fuck out of that? That
was
amazing to me.
Right? Thank you. Because I loved how he sees the girl and it's like, oh, yes.
Also, guys.
I literally was like, oh my God.
I was rewatching Force Awakens today. There is an African American woman with that same hairstyle in the fight in the Resistance base. And all she says to Ackbar is like, they're coming or something. And I saw her after I'd read this and I was like, oh,
it's her.
Yes. Amazing.
Also, can I just say that's the cutest thing ever? And Tyler's like, it was like my parents.
I know. It's Aww. Wonderful.
Yeah.
And this
That's
is
what I
why
thought immediately. I was just like, oh, my mom and
together.
Dad. Oh.
And this, but that is exactly why this shit matters.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, that's exactly why, like, people can not like The Force Awakens, whatever. But, like, it's a movie. It's important because you have an African-American and a female lead, possibly going to be into an interracial thing. You have a Hispanic sub lead. You're even
possibly
the Rogue One trailer. Possibly. Yeah. You get all of these things, and, like, representation starts to matter because you get things like that. And you don't see that often,
yeah.
and now you're starting to, and especially in Star Wars.
It's just, it's one of those things where it's just, like, it feels more relatable to, I mean, and maybe that's just me and other people who are in my situation of, like, being the product of, like, a mixed race relationship. But it's just, like, seeing that even in an illustrated comic form, it's just, like, that's just, like, it just resonates with you.
Yeah.
And
it makes it feel more real because it's things
yeah.
that you see
Well, it's a
exactly.
universe,
yeah.
right? Our planet has that stuff. Why wouldn't this galaxy have it,
like,
too?
It's, there's no way this entire giant galaxy is just white people dating
it's
white
just
people.
The
like,
Solos and the Skywalkers
exactly.
banging everyone they find. If Rey is related to Luke or Han, I will be so angry about all the things.
Well, also, we found in the comics that technically Han kind of had an interracial relationship.
Exactly, which is great, but that's like, it's just not something we had 5 years ago. And
yeah.
It's nice. It's refreshing that they're
nice.
Actually having representation so that it feels like a real world.
Yeah.
It feels like a real world because we have representation all around.
Also, I love that this comic kind of looked like Bill Watterson comics. Like, it had kind
it
of
did.
A
yeah.
Calvin Hobbes
it's
vibe to
cute.
It.
Oh, it looks so
That's
good.
That's what I thought, too.
And I very rarely actually read those, like, backstories when comics put them in. Like, half the time I'm like, I don't need it. And as soon as I saw that art style, I was like, I must have this.
Yo, and speaking of that, I would be remiss if I didn't. Have you guys seen the real Finn and Rey? Like, have you guys
yeah,
seen that cosplay
shoot?
Couple?
Oh, my gosh. The photo shoot?
It's guys, please just Google the real Finn and Rey. It is a real engaged couple, a black guy who
looks a lot.
Cosplays
yeah,
as
a lot
Finn and a white woman who cosplays as Rey, and they for one they look pretty goddamn close to
yeah,
the actual
yeah.
John Boyega and Daisy Ridley, but they've also got a beautiful little baby who is their BB-8. And it's one of the cutest things you'll ever see.
Oh, it's so
I like,
good.
I like Uden awed at that for like 10 minutes.
I lost my mind. I was like, it's so cute. Also the photography is just really well done.
Oh yeah.
Oh, it's beautiful. Photography
is fantastic.
The whole amazing thing. Their costumes are amazing. It's just so
everything's so on point.
I just love it.
But it's like not to get like real, but like it's things like that you see that just make you be like, "All right, the world's not so terrible," yes. Even though it's fucking terrible.
Yeah.
There's still like good that you can find there's out of hope. All of these things, and that's what is so great about our like quote unquote nerd culture is that you get amazing things out of it like that.
Right.
Whether you give a fuck about Star Wars or not, whether you liked Force Awakens or not, like there's no way that you can look at these cosplay pictures of this real life couple doing the thing that they care about most together that brings them together and not just be like, wow,
it warms
life is
well
pretty great sometimes.
And that was to kind of segue onto like a different thing in the post me watching like Batman and Superman. There was a very long time where I was
like, "Why you gotta go negative?
It's gonna get better, okay, Tyler. Right. I gotta
and
start here, guys.
I have a really positive thing to put after,
guys.
That,
I,
so.
I need to voice
right,
this because I almost wrote an
do
essay
go,
about
go, go,
this.
Go, go,
okay.
Go.
So I walked out of Batman Superman. I had like a crisis of faith of just like, maybe these symbols don't matter anymore. Maybe these characters and this pop culture, this resonation isn't important, and all we want to watch now are these cynical, jaded, just dumb versions of them." Parading about on camera.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's all we want. And you're almost kind of like, well, does any of this even matter? Like, mm-hmm. if that doesn't matter, does pop culture, nerd culture matter? Do stories matter? Does art matter? And it's stuff like that, of like, you go back to what like Star Wars was about and what Superman was supposed to stand for. And it was an idealism that like, we can be better than ourselves. That Superman goes, humanity has it in them to be as good as I am.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he loves them so much.
Right.
And it's when you see like, things like this photo shoot, other cosplayers at Comic-Cons, relationships that come together from it, that it starts to matter. Things like watching the interrelation couple on the end of that comic and going, it's like my parents, is why these things matter.
Yeah.
So my point is, all of this matters and it's all great. And this is a reminder of why this podcast exists, why these stories exist, is that there is hope and there is good in the world and people can be better. Screw Batman versus Superman.
Fuck you, Zack Snyder.
Oh, God. I can't even talk about it.
I know. We have all a right, whole
let's
podcast
talk about,
about
the,
it.
Let's talk about the trailer.
Wait, did you guys look at my Twitter?
No.
Yeah, I saw it.
Yeah.
It was
so
it was
talking about people being awesome and warming your heart because they're just nice. Charles Soule is just an amazingly awesome, nice person.
That's right.
I'm just going to say it. He's amazing. And Phil Noto, I've met him too. He's also phenomenal. And when I went to WonderCon, I met Charles Soule, and I said, I talked to him how much I loved his Lando run and a bunch of his other stuff. If you haven't read things by him, he's great. I know that we've talked a lot about his Lando run being amazing. And he's the one who wrote the Poe Dameron comic. And I said to him, I was like, I'm so excited because like Poe's my favorite character. Phil Noto's my favorite artist. And I was like, and I'm a big fan of yours. And I was like, and it's coming out this month. It's my birthday month. I'm just stoked. And he just looks at me and he goes, he gets really serious. He leans back and goes, I'm going to tell you something about that comic. And I was like, okay. And he goes, we made that comic for you for your birthday. And I just look at him and I'm like, I'm going to quote you on that. You know that, right? Like, because you just said that to me. And I'm there being in my head going, oh my God. And he just is like, quote me on that. Yeah. And so I tweeted him when the day it came out last week, and he literally tweeted me back and was like, he's like, we did, for real, not for anyone else, referring to they made it for me.
Aww.
And
wow.
Then Phil Noto tweeted me happy birthday, even though it's not birthday yet.
That's awesome.
That's pretty sweet.
And all because, legitimately, because I'm a fan. Because I'm a fan, and I was like, I'm a huge fan of your stuff, and I'm so excited about all of these things. And he literally was just that nice, that he's just like, yeah, that's for you.
Guys, life is dumb. But then shit like that happens.
Exactly. Shit like that photo shoot and people who are like, you're a fan of what I do, so I'm a fan of you. And that's amazing.
The point is, guys, there is purpose to all of it.
And that the Poe Dameron
except Batman and Superman.
Except for Batman versus Superman. Which stands as a reminder that even in the darkest corner, as long as you ignore that dark corner, there's great things.
But speaking of movies, Blake.
There was a new trailer for a new Star Wars movie that came out.
Yay!
Called Rogue
Rouge One.
Did you see that was trending on Twitter because somebody misspelled it? That made me so happy.
It made me so happy.
I did
dude.
It on purpose because I'm a redhead. I was like, Rouge, red. So I was like,
Rouge
one.
Yoon.
And my older brother's like, did you do that on purpose? And I said, yes, I did. And he was like, oh, just making sure.
It's the people on Twitter that made it. It's the like three people on Twitter that made it trend that didn't.
So I hashtag both Rouge One and Rogue One.
But anyways, this trailer was sweet.
Oh my God.
Can I just say a genuine fuck you to anyone who's mad that we've got another female lead? Seriously, go if you listen to this podcast, I don't give a fuck if it affects our downloads. Go fuck yourself. Go fuck yourself so hard.
My
I don't care. I don't want you. If you're gonna be that bigoted
right?
about yeah. it, go fuck yourself.
How
and get
are
the
we
fuck
still
out.
Having
get
this conversation yeah. every time?
I appreciate both of you so much being a girl. And hearing these things.
I'm just like, I'm astounded. Like, sure, okay, there's always going to be bigots and these people will always exist. I've accepted that. But I'm astounded that somehow there's still one person that's like, if I voice my hatred towards this specific type of people, it'll change.
Wah, girls.
Well, did you, right. I know, I'm sorry, guys, that I'm so completely terrifying that my gender is so terrifying to... Apparently, a lot of
girls can't be the lead in a movie.
Oh
it's
God.
A movie for
well,
them. Fuck you.
Did you see the one guy who tweeted? He was like, he's like, imagine a Star Wars movie without a strong female lead. Go ahead, imagine it. You can't, and you're not going to get one. And my response would have been, actually, there's been six of those. There's been six Star Wars movies with a male lead.
Are you saying that Padme was a strong female lead? Because then you're a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
Because that is
I'm
not
very,
a
have
thing.
Have you only
I'm
seen one
Wars.
Star Wars movie?
Did you
like,
only see Force Awakens? Because
it, even then, that would kind of be like, I don't know, picking any franchise with a lead female. I mean, like, imagine it. With the fact that I can't immediately think of one is a problem. Tomb Raider. Picture Tomb Raider with there's been one of them. Calm down.
I had one of my friends on Facebook when he posted an article of all the guys like saying the terrible things about like, oh great, another chick. And I'm there going, really? And his post was, if you don't want to watch a movie with a strong female lead, go watch every other movie in Hollywood.
Right.
Go do that and leave these alone.
Yeah, no one,
like, thank
no
you.
One's making you watch this movie.
Yeah.
You could literally say the same for if you don't want to watch a movie with a strong black character in it, go watch basically any other
right.
movie in Hollywood.
Hollywood
unless you want to watch Best Man Holiday, which no one wants to watch.
No
Best
one
Man
wants
Holiday.
To watch
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. They're,
yeah.
Anyways.
So angering. Anyway, the actual trailer
the
was
trailer
dope
itself
as fuck.
Was great. Is anybody else, though, starting to notice that a lot of these trailers from like old franchises are just slowing down their theme songs when they start
yep.
in a post Jurassic
yeah.
World?
Yep.
I don't
I'm
mind
okay
it.
It
was just something that I was like, oh, we're doing that again. That's neat.
I honestly didn't expect to hear it, though, because John Williams isn't doing the score for this.
Yeah.
Alexander, what, the French guy. Sorry,
yeah.
I can't remember his name.
I'm
Alexander
sure they'll still use the main theme, but...
Yeah, I guess. I guess I was just expecting them to do something completely different, but for marketing purposes, I completely
yeah.
understand why they wouldn't go
yeah.
that
yeah.
route.
Yeah.
It was so cool.
I was actually kind of hoping for something completely different, though. That's just the music nerd
yeah.
in me just being like, oh, I wonder what like a new Star
well,
Wars
that was actually
would sound like.
Touching on this
though.
For a little bit, though, I just had this conversation with my roommate because he was like, the score in Force Awakens, and I was like, yeah, it's the Star Wars score. The only really like standout theme from it was Rey's theme, which I really liked.
Dope.
Which is great. But he was like, you didn't think it was, and I was like, there wasn't really a new like. Battle of oh my gosh, blanked on the names. When they fight Darth Maul, or when like Obi-Wan and Anakin fight, like there was no like new like big battle song.
Yeah.
So even when it like went up for the Oscar and everyone was like, oh, I was at it, didn't win. I was like, it doesn't need it's John
really
Williams
didn't deserve to win. In
it
all
shouldn't
honesty.
Have because John Williams, to his credit, did kind of just do Star Wars again,
yeah.
which is fine and understandable and is great.
It's what you would expect and honestly hope for. Like,
right.
You're not expecting
yeah.
like the fucking like. Hans Zimmer Junkie XL fucking
Whoa.
Soundtrack from Batman vs. Superman.
Oh my god.
Which there stop. Were some good parts to it, but it was mostly fucking trash. Like, You're not going to expect that from John Williams just because it's a 2015
right.
movie.
But this is an opportunity to do, like, everything kind of different. Mm-hmm. And we will see that.
And I think that we're going to get some really great new music for sure.
Well, oh, absolutely.
Because what I love about this trailer, too, is it is such a different look at the universe. Like, from, like, the way she fought the stormtroopers, just, like, that fist fight in the beginning, you see Ip Man fight with a staff, which is awesome. Apparently, also, I didn't know that. That actor is apparently very hard of sight, like, near blind.
Really?
Yeah, Ip Man is very close to being a real-life Daredevil.
Yeah, his real name's Ip Man.
I know, I don't remember his real name.
I don't remember his
calling
real name
him
either.
Ip Man.
I call him that, too.
Also, Ip Man was awesome.
Yo, can we talk about fucking how Mon Mothma is just a clone of her 1970s self.
Gosh,
I love that they're
right?
using
what
this actress.
Fuck, dude.
Did you guys know that this is the actress that was cut out of Revenge of the Sith?
Really?
There was a whole subplot in Revenge of the Sith of her, Bail Organa, and a third person starting the Rebel Alliance that was completely cut out of the movie.
And
can
so they
I
just
have
got
that back?
The same
yep.
girl?
And she's actually in the background of some scenes in Revenge of the Sith.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
She looks,
that's fucking dope, dude.
She looks exactly.
It's great.
Because I had someone literally
bizarre.
Go.
It's
oh
bizarre.
I had someone go, oh my God, she looks so good for her age. And I was like, dude, that's not the same girl.
That is.
Not the same woman. And they were
she
like,
looks younger than she
and
looked
I was
in
like,
those movies.
Because she looks a little younger. And they're like, what? Oh man. And they went. And then they rewatched it and they're like, oh wow. She just looks so much like her. And I'm like, I know. It's amazing. Also, hooray, canon female ginger.
Right?
Yeah, fuck yeah.
I also love just seeing Jen be who she seems to be, and this like weird implication that she might, the dark side obviously won't be in this movie, but like there's like that last shot of her with the Imperial stuff on,
yep.
and that overview of just like, what will you become? And I'm like, ooh, what if it does get super dark and she ends up sympathizing with the Empire and they still get the plans, but she goes somewhere else.
Yep.
There's so many, again, interesting things, because we've moved away from
also,
their main people.
Also, can I just say, the first time you see Diego Luna in this, that shot of him looks just like Oscar Isaac.
Oh, looks great.
Yeah, right?
Looks
and
great.
I thought it was for a split second.
Me too!
Second.
I was like, is he playing his own father?
Yeah.
Because I think that they might actually be
probably.
Introducing, because the thing is that we've already met his father in Shattered Empire.
I would love to meet his parents. I'm going to be so angry, though, if almost anybody that we see is Rey's parents. Like,
I don't want that.
I just want her to be herself. I don't want her to be related to
Jin.
I don't want Jin to be related to anyone.
No.
I agree.
I want these characters
to
stand
on
their own.
Enough characters related to people.
Yeah.
Right.
I just want Jin to be her own fucking person.
I think so, too. And actually, Daisy really talked about that already.
Yeah, I saw that,
where
she was
like... She's like, just because she's a white, like, brunette chick does not mean she's my mom. And she's like, also, she's like, I feel like my character is a little bit more standalone than people are thinking, and she talks about it.
I've said a million times, if she's going to be related to Luke, Obi-Wan, Han, do you guys really want 20 minutes of exposition in this movie explaining that? Because that's what
not.
You'll get.
Absolutely not. I do not want that.
Right. It's much more interesting. I think, honestly, because they did the whole thing with Anakin of, like, the, like, virgin birth and, like, Christ metaphor, chosen one, blah, 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 there was no father. I think this is just a better way to do that idea thematically.
Yeah.
There are no parents.
And that's was the kind of what Yoda says in the original trilogy, and apparently this Rey character is a concept that George Lucas had back then.
Yeah.
That she was that character that when Yoda says
there's another,
that he was actually talking about, I can see into the future and there is going to be another person. And it's a young girl is what George Lucas always wanted.
Yeah.
All it is just like, okay, again, I make too many Harry Potter references, but just like fucking Harry Potter. There was a prophecy made in those books that could have been about Harry or Neville. There was a prophecy made in this universe and they thought it was about Anakin, and then he failed. They mm-hmm. thought it was Luke, and then he failed. This is the person who basically is taking on the mantle.
Yeah.
I don't think that they have to be related to
Well,
anybody.
Vader technically... I mean, balance. At the end of Anakin's story, there were two and two.
Yeah.
That's balance. Yeah. But anyways, so the trailer also... I mean, you just see everything from a different perspective. Like, mm-hmm. even seeing the AT-ATs from the ground up. Like,
yeah.
they're showing you all of this familiar stuff in a new way. That dude with the white cloak,
mm-hmm.
like, Grand Moff badass.
Right.
Like, so many things. The Shadow Troopers, the Black Storm Troopers. And I was like, I love this, so like, excited. This combination of old and new that we're getting with this movie. Because it kind of, and it's also, I brought this up with the Leia book. We never really get to see the Rebels when they're, like, gritty and dingy and, like, really rebelling. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's what this is.
Yes.
Like, even in, like, A New Hope, it's still kind of, like, clean cut. Like, there's still, like, a very organized army with a plan. And I feel like this is going to be when there's, like, 20 of them and just being like, we got to figure this out.
And I
also,
like
there's
that.
A weapons test. Do you guys think the Death Star is going to blow up another planet, or is Alderaan going to have been the first?
Yeah.
Because she says a weapon test is imminent. And I was like,
I assume they're going to stop the weapons test.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think there's a line in A New Hope where they're like, this is the most powerful gun. I suggest we use it. But I don't know if he means, like, show them what it can do, or if he means, like, hey, guys, we're sitting on a big red button.
And see,
push
also,
the big red button.
All of this gets to tie in, and I'm so excited.
Right.
Like, it's all going to tie in, and I feel like it's going to feel natural, and I'm excited about that.
This will feel very natural.
You know what else is going to feel natural? When you guys go buy that Ewok from Build-A-Bear.
Oh,
I know,
my God.
I posted that. Wicket?
Yeah, I pretty much...
I need
just,
it.
I tagged,
I mean,
I tagged
I don't
my
need
boyfriend's
it
name in it.
I'm a 26-year-old dude.
Yes, you do. You
I
need
mean,
it.
I need it.
I tagged my boyfriend's name in it because my birthday's coming up, so I was just, like, tagging you on Facebook.
Yep.
Just so you know, that's something I want.
Tyler's going to hold out for the Santee Build-A-Bear.
I just need Santee something, please.
Wait, are you just telling me that we're just going to go to Build-A-Bear soon, guys?
Yes. That's fine. Okay. Yeah. I can make my Spider-Man or my Captain America one that I kind of want to make.
And your Pikachu one.
I really want the Pikachu
one. I know,
one.
I do too. I'm a grown man.
But I'm going to circle back to this trailer for one more moment.
Right.
This is what happens when we take breaks. We end up talking about everything.
Sorry.
I'm fine with it.
Like, where's the closest Build-A-Bear?
Right.
Oh, I think
in
it's
Glendale?
A Disney.
Is
yeah.
it closest?
Yeah.
Glendale, yeah,
Glendale's the closest. It's probably going to be closed by the time we're done, though, guys. So
it's already closed.
Right. The other thing, too, with this, I'm wondering, do you guys think we're going to see Vader, or do we want to see Vader?
I don't want to.
I have no interest in seeing Vader. Because
this is what I was going to say when we were talking about the Luke one, is we keep getting into all of this stuff, and this is the area that we're specifically saying we're kind of, we've mined enough.
Yes.
And we're getting a huge movie about that specific area.
Yep.
And an event that we already know is going to succeed. And I think Tyler will probably know this a little. I think it's a little bit out of Harley's wheelhouse. I don't think she plays Halo as much as we did. I'm getting from this a very Halo Reach vibe.
I can see that. Like, you're not the only person that I've heard say that.
Yeah, that's the ragtag.
What does that mean?
Halo Reach was a prequel video game about a planet called Reach that Spartans were going to help save.
Yeah,
for
basically
Earth.
This team of Spartans called Noble Team.
Yeah.
We already knew from the main Halo games that basically at the end of this mission, they all fucking just died.
Yeah.
And it was just done. Wow. And that's basically the storyline that we got from Halo Reach.
Was how they all died.
Exactly.
And watching it happen. And when it came out, I remember being a little like, well, we know how it ends. But it was marketed that way. The tagline was, you already know how it ends.
Hmm. But it was really well done, and it left all the major characters we already knew out of it.
Yes.
That's what I want from Rogue One. I want this new story because it's going to give us insight. As long as they do it correctly, it's going to give us insight into solely new characters. Well,
right.
Besides Mon Mothma,
We don't know that much about her. I'm so excited.
Just leave the major characters we already know out of it, and
right.
It's going to be great. Because that's what Halo Reach did so well.
Yeah.
That's why it's my favorite Halo
it's
story.
It's the best one.
Because they were able to tell such an articulate, interesting story with all new standalone characters that we never got. There was no Master Chief or Cortana in that game.
I'm also, because there was that one shot, and it's quick, of somebody in black, like, kneeling down, and there's the Imperial Guards behind him. And I was like, could that be... I hope they don't do Vader. I guess I wouldn't, like, hate it, like, if he just kind of clipped in at the end. But it's also, you never really want to see him fail. And this would be where he fails. And watching him fail when there's not... you do. But, like, when there's no, like, lightsabers or other force users around, it's almost makes it feel too, like... Well, come on, guys. Like, and we get to A New Hope, and Vader, he's not, like, being punished for anything. And we know in the Vader comic that whenever he doesn't do well, the Emperor's like, oh, you will be punished. So I'm like, we don't need to have him show up, like, and just kind of choke people. I don't need it.
Because I'm fine with it just being him being an entity where they do refer to him as this.
That's the other thing. I like the bump in the night.
As a scary being, like this intimidating entity. I like that. And then having it be all about them.
Yeah, it's going to be great. All right. Unless you guys have any other thoughts on it, I think that'll take us home.
I'm
good.
You're good. We're all good. All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening. As always, subscribe to us on iTunes and leave us a review. You can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/StarWarsBookClubPodcast. I almost said Modern Nostalgia.
No, that would have been wrong.
Where you can follow us on Instagram at Modern Nostalgia Productions.
Yeah.
Which will lead to our other two podcasts, Modern Nostalgia Gaming and Hollywood Already Did It.
We're going bi-weekly on Modern Nostalgia Gaming, by the way, kids, just to let you know.
Yep. Just so everyone has a heads up. It'll be great, though.
It's going to be awesome.
Yep. And then Friday, you'll have Hollywood Already Did It coming out again. And, of course, on Twitter at the SWBC Podcast. You can follow me at, as always, Blake, Harley at
Miss Harley R.
And Tyler at.
Yo, I'm at the tie game. And, guys, feel free to use that R2-D2 joke, but please just give a brother some credit. Come on.
Give him credit if you use it. Because that was an amazing joke.
I worked really hard on that joke for about 9 minutes today. Yeah.
And you guys didn't know you were going to get a gift when you listened. You didn't know you were going to leave better than you came.
That's true.
It's in your pocket now, your repertoire.
I just got to top it for the next time.
That's
true.
Find
another
you got
joke.
A week.
Yeah.
All right.
Good luck.
Oh.
All right,
I'm
guys.
Fail. We all, you know that.
No, I believe in you.
No, you shouldn't ever do that.
Oh, dear. Well, guys, on that note, we'll see ya.